This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports to the max here on a Monday night. News Talk 830 WCCO. Chris Tubbs, our producer. Steve Thompson in for Maxie, who was in earlier today. By the way, highlights available online at WCCORadio.com. Take advantage of the Odyssey app. NASCAR getting deep in their playoff season, and Kyle Larson gets it done in Texas. He punches his ticket to Phoenix and the Championship Four. Reed Spencer joins us from NASCAR Wire Service. Reed, it's been a while. How you been?
Just fine, thanks, Steve. How about you?
Yeah, good to visit with you. And Kyle Larson put on quite a show at Texas.
Yeah, hey, big surprise. He's making it to the Final Four. So he sure did. Led 256 of 334 laps and just blew him away. Did what he's been doing on the intermediate tracks pretty much all year. And you've got to say that he's favored to win two in a row coming up next week in Kansas as well.
Yeah, and he has been so good. And what a comeback story in the sport. Good young driver. And then out of the sport, comes back, goes to work for Rick Hendrick, driver of the number five, and has just had an incredible season. And really, I know Chase Elliott was the champion a year ago, and really has been leading this massive resurgence at Hendrick Motorsports.
Yeah, and I mean, Kyle Larson has basically gone in there and shown them, you know, a whole new level this year, winning eight times. I mean, Chase has won twice, and Alex Bowman won three times, Byron won, but Larson has been the dominant figure in the sport of NASCAR racing, and it just happened to coincide with a big improvement in the performance of the Hendrick cars, particularly with the 550 horsepower package. So, you know, that said, they are all head and shoulders above the other players right now. I mean, I was pleased to see a little bit of progress in the speed of the Fords, the Penske group, at Texas, but I mean, Joey Logano blew an engine and now he's in a must-win situation. Blaney and Keselowski are still alive, perhaps heading to the playoffs, but William Byron and Kyle Larson, of course, were the two dominant cars in that race.
So Kyle Larson locked into Phoenix and on to Kansas and another intermediate track, or the mile and a half, and these tracks have been up for a lot of criticism. As a result, we see the Roval now at Charlotte, one of the shows there, combo platter of oval racing and road racing. I think the fans have really enjoyed that. They added Road America to the schedule, so they're trying to mix it up. The mile and a half have fallen out of favor a little bit, Reed.
Well, I think people just like the action that they're seeing on the short track and on the road courses. They've had seven road courses on the schedule this year. One was sort of an impromptu addition at the Daytona road course because they did not race at California Speedway. But, you know, and there's six road courses on the schedule next year. Road America was quite a happening up in Wisconsin. We were up there for that one, and literally, there were 90 to 100,000 people there spread throughout the woods on that four-mile track. And, you know, I think people are just enjoying the action, looking forward to getting back to Austin for the Circuit of the Americas race next year, where Formula One is racing this coming weekend. So, I think the mile and a half certainly don't make up as big a part of a NASCAR playoff as they used to, and that's by design because they want to get as many different types of venues in the playoff as they possibly can.
So on to Kansas, then Martinsville to close it out. A bit of a wild card there. Give us a sense of the drivers still alive and what they need to do. I know there was a talk coming out of Texas that pretty much Chase Elliott's got to win to get in to the championship four down in Phoenix. By the looks of the numbers, it doesn't seem that way. Kind of break it down for us on where things stand going to Kansas Reed.
Yeah, I don't think Chase has to necessarily win to get into the championship four, because he and Kyle Busch are on either side of the bubble with Chase below, Kyle Busch above. And, it basically, with two races left, pretty much anything can happen with an 8 or 9 point deficit. So I think certainly after blowing his engine at Texas, Joey Logano is going to have to win a race to advance, and he's won at Martinsville before. I think that's his probably his best chance, even though he also has won at Kansas. I just don't think that they have the speed to compete with the Hendrick cars there. I think, in all probability, after blowing a right front tire and slamming the wall, Truex is probably going to have to win, but he's won a couple of times recently at Martinsville as well, so that's a possibility for him. But I think in all likelihood, you're going to have a situation where you have a lot of drivers heading for Martinsville, any of whom could advance with a win, and that's likely to be a really wild race, because you could have Logano, Truex, Chase Elliott, Kyle Busch, any of those needing to win to advance, Keselowski another, all competing for the same thing with maybe only one spot left.
Hey, Reed, what about this format? It's been a number of years that they've gone to this elimination format. The new championship venue is down in Phoenix. Love that track, by the way. Used to be Homestead, Miami, where the championship was. Now it's in Phoenix. The drivers, the teams, the fans, I think have embraced this format and do enjoy this elimination format.
Absolutely, because it gives you something to talk about every three races during the playoff, and then you get to Phoenix, and all points are thrown out the window. The four championship four drivers start off dead even in terms of points, and whoever finishes highest among them is the champion. I mean, that's kind of the way they do it in other sports, where although they're only one or two, two teams competing against each other at the same time. You get to the point where you're going down to one last game. It's an elimination game, and whoever finishes the highest among the four is the champion. So, yeah, I think the fans have embraced it, and as a testament to that, they have sold out Phoenix Raceway already for the final race.
Yeah, and the weather's always pretty nice in the Valley of the Sun that time of year, and that doesn't hurt as well. People starting to get cold up north, want to get out of there and maybe get down to Phoenix and see NASCAR in the championship race, but it certainly is a fine venue. About some of the changes coming, the team shouldn't get too comfortable, the drivers shouldn't get too comfortable, because there's a new car coming, Reed.
There's an absolute new car coming, and there's still work to be done with it. They've had some heat in the cockpit issues with it. It drives differently. The position of the seat is different, moved more toward the center of the car for safety purposes, and they're trying to still match up tires with the cars. There's going to be a big oval test at Charlotte in November. They just had a test on the Roval, and the car performed very well there, but how it behaves on the big ovals in traffic still remains to be seen. They're also inaugurating for the first time in a number of years the preseason thunder test at Daytona in January. That'll be January 11 and 12. where they test the Speedway version of the car down there. But the new car is going to be a leveler, and chances are, as generally happens in NASCAR, one team or organization or manufacturer is going to get out there and find something that gives them an edge, and they will start out with an advantage. We'll see who that is, whether it continues to be Hendrick Motorsports or whether the cyclical nature of the sport dictates that it's somebody else like Stuart Haas or perhaps like Joe Gibbs Racing. Whichever one of those deciphers the car first, is going to have an advantage for a while, but it won't last.
Yeah, and Reed, help the casual fan understand why the sport does this from time to time. Is it to level the playing field? I know there's been talk about making it more affordable, so it's not prohibitively expensive for these teams to have cars for all the different kinds of tracks and all sorts of different setups. What's ultimately the goal of going to a new car and kind of starting from scratch, if you will?
Well, two factors. One is, as you say, it's a cost-saving measure, and that's important to the team and the sport going forward. Second is safety. They're always working on improving the safety factor in the cars, and they've done a remarkably good job of that over the last 20 years of making the cars safer, protecting the drivers so that there's not serious injury in the cars. And so those are really the two driving forces. And also, I think, you know, just going forward, they want to try to put the driver more back into the equation as possible. Which they've succeeded in doing on the road courses, for instance, and the short tracks. They want to get the driver as a larger part of the equation versus the equipment, and therefore the cars at least should start out pretty much equal for everyone.
And I get the sense, Reed, that this has been a good season for NASCAR. I know COVID for the entire sports world, for the entire world, that matter, still recovering. But it seems as though you brought up the crowds that showed up at Road America in Wisconsin. A lot of great race fans here in the upper Midwest turned out for that. And I get the sense that there's a resurgence in NASCAR is bouncing back after some tough years.
I think that's really true, and I think one of the reasons it started back during the middle of COVID last year in 2020, when NASCAR was one of the most successful sports of the professional sports in coming back online first, establishing COVID protocols, keeping the drivers, the teams separate from each other and separate from the groups that worked back at the shops, and really successful in staging their season when a lot of people other sports had fits and starts. So, and I think people respected that, and I think that there's been a burgeoning interest in the sport throughout the last couple of years. TV ratings are up, and crowds are enjoying getting back to the racetrack at this point. The drivers certainly are enjoying having the fans back at the tracks, and I think it's just been a building critical mass that really has propelled the sport into more of the spotlight than it has been over the last few years.
I was going to bring up another one. His dad was very popular. Bill Elliott, now Chase Elliott, a champion, the defending champion in the sport. And that's got to be a factor as well, that you have a young star. And there's other great drivers and certainly have their own star power, but you know, having someone like Chase Elliott, the family name Bill Elliott was so incredibly popular. That's got to be a factor as well, Reed.
Oh, absolutely! And Chase has taken right over from Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Bill before him in terms of the most popular driver voting, and we expect Chase to win that same trophy again this year. The continuity in the sport and the second generation certainly make a difference. And Chase is probably the one who embodies that more than anyone else now that Dale Earnhardt Jr. is retired and has gone to the broadcast booth. So I totally agree with you. I think it's a huge factor that you have the family continuity in the second and the third generation drivers that are coming along. Another good example, John Hunter Nemechek, who has succeeded his father Joe as in the sport, and John Hunter is making a good name for himself now in the truck series and in the Kyle Busch Motorsports truck.
Yeah. So here we go. We're getting right down to the end of it. Kansas, Martinsville, and then Phoenix in the championship for Kyle Larson, already locked in after a dominant run at Texas Motor Speedway, and will certainly be one of the favorites at Kansas. Reed, always good to visit with you. Have you been able to play a little golf this fall?
Been able to play some. As a matter of fact, we were up there. We were up there at Whistling Straits for. We just got back a couple of weeks ago from a trip to northern Michigan where we played all the Boyne resorts up there. And so we've been getting some golf in and a few rounds here at the home course at River Run in Davidson. So we have been playing, not as much as we would like, because during the NASCAR playoffs we're pretty darn busy.
Yeah, Reed, you got a great gig. I love it. NASCAR, play a little golf, write a little bit about golf as well. It's good stuff. And a musician as well. You got them all covered.
Yeah, we try. We've got a new video out from the James Reed Band, which you can find at jamesreedband.com, and it's called It Never Rains on Me. So check it out and have some fun with it.
Well, always good to visit with you, Reed. Take care.
You too, Steve. Thanks a lot.
All right, there he is, Reed Spencer, NASCAR Wire Service, getting us up to date on motorsports.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.